Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we with my baby?
Yes. Head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
It must be Thursday night. Yes, it is May 2nd, the first Thursday of May, and this is Reality and Relationships. And I am your host, KL Belvin, and my lovely co-host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, is back in the studio. Honey, you there?
Hey,
what's going on, darling? Oh, it is great to be back on the air as a team. My lovely wife will explain to you where she was and what was going on with her in a minute. I talked a little bit about it if you tuned in last week. And if you've been paying attention to what we've been putting out on the social networks, you'll understand what her surprise is, but I'll let her speak on that. We want to thank everyone that's tuning in tonight. If you're tuning in from the website, GQ Palace Radio on blogtalk.com, we appreciate it. And if you called in to listen, we appreciate that also. And if you've called in, Remember, you can hit the 1 at any time to let the host know that you have a question. And you can definitely jump in and talk to us, and then we would love to have a conversation with you. We'll tell you what the topic is in a little bit as we do what we do. And I just want to thank the Lord real quick for allowing us to even be here, because I'm going to tell you, this is a rough one tonight, because I'm feeling like somebody just beat me with a stick. But
you are not alone.
We're going to do what we do. So, honey, why don't you fill us in on how your week has been, and it has been an exciting week, but I'll let you tell all the folks.
Yes, I had a magnificent week. For those who have tuned in every week, you know that as of actually Wednesday, I left Tuesday on Greyhound after work to head down to Atlanta, Georgia to compete in the Miss American Beauties Plus pageant, representing New York in the Miss's division, of course. And I arrived 20 hours later in Atlanta, Georgia on Wednesday afternoon. And I have to say, I'm so grateful that it was a nice ride down. I slept most of the way because I took some Benadryl because my sinuses were bothering me. But I slept most of the way. And when I got to the hotel, I took a nice hot shower. Oh. But anyway, the pageant festivities began on Thursday. And we had orientation. We got to meet all the delegates, which was about 27. We got to meet the previous queens from 2012 and all of the pageant staff. And, oh, my goodness, I met Angela Howell for the first time. We have been corresponding online for almost over 2 years. Actually, it was a little more than 2 years that we were corresponding, because I was supposed to attend the pageant last year and unfortunately couldn't make it due to some circumstances beyond my control. But I got to meet her, and she's amazing. Her staff is amazing. It was such a beautiful experience. The videographer, the photographer was a husband-wife team. The DJ, actually, that provided the sound entertainment, he and his wife was a previous queen, so they were a team. His wife actually choreographed the opening number for the pageant. It was such an amazing experience. If no one has ever attended a pageant and you only watch pageants on TV like Miss America, Miss USA, and Miss Universe, it wasn't anything that you see on TV, because what I learned from the American Beauty Plus pageant is they are very family oriented. And we got to see so much love between husband and wives with the children. The children actually helped out. And some of the children were recognized and they received honorary titles. Some of the men, the husbands, received honorary titles as Mr. Ambassadors of the event. It was such a wonderful experience. I had a very good time.
And
I'm sorry?
What was the title that you won?
Well, I'm getting to that, honey. Don't rush me.
Awesome.
My goodness. You know, I had a whole... I had a whole 4 days in Atlanta. You can't rush it now.
Oh,
so,
okay. We got 2 hours.
Friday, thank you. Well, Friday, when we got up, I had to get up early because we had rehearsal for our opening number. But also Friday afternoon, I was the second person in line to be interviewed by a panel of judges. And we had an interview with three judges who had a combination of 40 years experience in the pageant industry. So it's very hard to impress people when they have that much experience in the industry. But I went into my interview with my only focus being to do my best and to be me. And I have to give credit and thanks to my pageant coach, Ms. Suzette Bonzo, who really helped me along the way. And I went in an interview, and they asked a lot of questions. I think I had maybe 2 questions for each judge, because you only have 7 minutes for all the judges. But I was able to express why I was there and why I felt I should be a winner of the pageant. And when I left out of there, I felt so good and so confident, because with interviews, it can be hit or miss. And sometimes you let your nerves get to you and it gets overwhelming. But my interview went very well. Then Friday evening, I performed my poem. The poem that I actually wrote for a previous pageant, I decided on stage in front of an audience full. Every seat was filled. And I was very, very nervous because if anybody has ever met me in person, I have told them, and people don't seem to believe it because they say, oh, you're a model, you're a pageant queen. There's no way in the world that you have stage fright. And I do. So I actually performed my poem, Why Do I Love My Curves, for the very first time on stage during the talent competition. And the feedback was I did very well, and no one could tell that my heart was beating through my chest. So I was happy about that. Although I didn't win anything for my talent, there were other performances that were awesome, and they were well-deserved of their prizes. But I was thankful to get through that and say that I was one more step towards getting over my stage fright. So then on Saturday was the finale. And that's where we get to show off our fashion wear and our evening wear. And I got so much good feedback from my pageant sisters, the previous queens, even people from the audience stopped me and said, oh, your dress is so beautiful. You like a Greek goddess. And I felt really good about that because I had been looking at this dress was not custom made. I actually bought it online, and I'm not going to say the name of the company because we don't want people to see here.
Funny from them. We're not giving no commercials if they don't get money for us. No.
Right. I had to pay for my dress full price. So
you can name the designer that made other dress.
Yes, the designer that made my other dresses, and he also made my interview suit. That's Robert E. Knight. I love Robert E. Knight. He's based here in New York, and I have a few pieces from him. He's great. He's awesome. If you ever need something well-made and to fit you, you can look him up online. You can Google him. Robert E. Knight is the designer. That's K-N-I-G-H-T. But anyway, back to Saturday. I had a wonderful time again on stage and our opening number. I was really nervous about the opening number, too, because I kept getting the steps wrong in rehearsal. But I told the choreographer, I said, by tonight, I'm going to have it ready. And I pulled through. And then, when it was all said and done, I received my first national title in a pageant. I was crowned Mrs. American Beauty Plus Ambassador.
Nice.
Yes. So I was very excited about that because it's very difficult. I've won a state title, not state title, I'm sorry, a local title before. But when it comes to a national title, that means you're competing with people all over the country from different walks of life. We have people as far away as Washington State come into the pageant, and you never know how it's going to go because you have so many fabulous women under one roof. And like I said, when you have judges that have such a vast experience of pageantry, you never know which way it's going to go. So to walk away with a national crown is really awesome. So I was very excited. And I do have to thank my husband who put the... My husband.
Okay, just a second.
I have to thank my husband who put the plea on Facebook when we didn't think we would be financially able to pull it through for me to get to Atlanta. He put the plea on Facebook asking people to donate. And I have to thank those people who donated because it was amazing. We had people donate as little as $3. And like I said, no amount was too small because every amount together helped me get to Atlanta and helped me.
We had people donate as little as a dollar, and I actually feel bad. I was like, no, don't feel bad. Every dollar counts at this point.
Yeah.
Trying to get up to this pageant. So shout out to everybody who gave us money, everybody who prayed for us, because you all sharing this crown because we would not have been able to get Tiff to Atlanta if it wasn't for your help. So shout out to everyone who sent a word up to the Lord, who sent what they could. I mean, it was small, large, everything. So we appreciate it all.
Yes. So I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful because those donations, those prayers also helped in me achieving my first national title. So that was my week, honey. How was your week?
I had a fish sandwich. No, I'm just joking. Actually, my week was fine. It was very quiet. You know, when you're away, ain't nothing I can really do but just sit and chill. I'm not the type to go hit the streets and all that. It was just a time to chill and reflect and consider what we're going to do once you had won the pageant. I was in positive spirits all the way. And then when you called me and told me how well the interview went, and I knew that was 50% of the overall score. And I was pulling for you. With these things, I was just happy that you were there. The winning is gravy. I just wanted to get you there because I know it was something that you dreamed about. So this week was about you more so than me. Like anything else, it was a work week. Trying to deal with some things at work, which can be a little frustrating. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today in general. But I just got some things that I need going to this summer that I'm going to address over the next couple weeks, and that this week gave me a chance to really reflect on some of the changes that I would like to, no, take it back, that I'm going to make, because I just believe there's another level that I can get to, but I can't get there until I plan it out the right way so I can make the perfect steps. And even though there is no perfection, I just want to make the right steps. So this is what it's about. So I'm not going to make it long and draw it out. This is what it is. So anything in the news that has captured your attention, because you know we got to talk about what's going on in the news. I know what I want to talk about. But is there anything in the news that caught your attention that you want to bring to the table?
Actually, you know, I didn't even look up the news today, but I have been listening to the news throughout the week because, you know, with everything with the pageant schedule, it's been pretty busy and hectic. But I was happy to learn that they caught one of the brothers in the bombing at the Boston Marathon.
They say.
And you know, you're the conspiracy theorist.
You can repeat what's put in the newspaper, but, you know, I'm not a person that's going to just fall for everything that is posted, and all of a sudden he shot himself and needed surgery on his throat so where he can't speak. Okay. Some things are really too convenient, but, you know, it is what it is. And if he is the person of the duo that committed that crime, you know what? He'll have to answer to the Lord for what he did, but some things happen, and some things happen in this country, and you just can't sell me on how tidy some things are. But I'm just happy that no one else was hurt, and that they arrested three other people who might have removed things from their apartment.
Right. They were friends of the brothers.
And also, well, I'm going to say, you know, we'd be amiss if we didn't talk about some of the major things, and that would be Jason Collins. The NBA, the former NBA player, because he's actually not signed to any team right now, the former NBA player who came out to the world and said that, you know, he's been gay all this time, and, you know, he's being celebrated as a hero. I'm going to simply say I congratulate him for lifting that weight off of himself, and whatever his reasons were for coming out now, listen, God bless him. I wish him all the best. It's not an area that I get into. It's not something I support, but I wish everyone health and happiness. And, you know, to live a lie in any form or fashion deteriorates you internally. So I can honestly say I honor his choice to do what he feels is right with his life. Like I said, even though I'm not a supporter of the lifestyle, I feel every person has the right to live their life any way that they choose. So I wish him well.
As
I know
long
he's
it doesn't
some negativity in the last couple days. And he's also got a lot of hoopla. So either way, I just wish him well, and that's it. We have to bring it to the table, but it is what it is. And like I said, I do wish the brother well.
Any other news?
No, that's really it. I went to go see 42 with the students this week. I didn't get a chance to actually see the movie, I saw a little bit of the beginning and a little bit of the end, but I spent most of my time at the concession stand with the kids because it seems like kids get more excited over popcorn and soda than they do actually watching the movie. So I spent like a good portion of the movie chaperoning the kids, watching them buy overpriced snacks. But that's part of the movie experience. So from what I've seen, 42 looks like a pretty good movie, but I think I have to go see it in peace and quiet because with 99 middle school students, they also can't see you getting emotional when certain scenes come up. And I was kind of trying to fake it, like my eyes were bothering me, but, you know, I was a little emotional. But I want to go see it on my own where I can really be fully emotional. But I definitely want to go back and see it. From
let me ask you, honey, were the kids able to actually understand and appreciate that part of history, or was it just another movie for them?
I think like anything else, they're going to understand negativity to what depth without actually being able to sit down and go through it deeply. Some of the kids that were on the bus with me, a lot of things that they say is the norm. I wouldn't have let that happen. I wouldn't have did this. And I go, okay, so you think that he didn't think like that? And it opens up the door to communication and conversations that we probably wouldn't have. They definitely appreciate it. They applauded at the end of the movie. And I think they got the gist of what he was going through. I personally would have liked some pre-planning before so kids can really get the full emotion of a movie. And I think movies are a fantastic tool with kids because they're so visual. I just think you have to set it up before so a kid is almost looking for certain things that we talked about and then let the movie show it to them and then have that conversation. So I think they got it on the grassroots level, but I think there's so much more that was left on the table that in the future I'm pretty sure that we'll take care of when we go to the movies. But I definitely want to go back and see the movie. Like I said, from what I've seen, the movie looked incredible, but I definitely want to go back and enjoy it from beginning to end. And it's a fantastic tale of relationship because seeing the relationship between Jackie Robinson and his wife Rachel was pretty cool too, but I just would have liked to see more. So like I said, when we go back, I'm going to go see it and see what that's like. So that's really it. As we're moving down to the end of the hour, we can actually get started on tonight's topic. What are we actually talking about tonight?
Tonight, we actually changed the topic because Kale's going through some things at work, and I'm going through some things at work. So we changed the topic to actually fit what we're going through to workplace relationships. And
how to deal with the negative of.
Yes. Trying to avoid workplace violence.
Yeah, because a punch in the face does seem like the perfect answer to some things that go on at work.
No, I'd rather two pieces to the throat. Because, you know, a punch in the face, somebody could come back from that too fast. Two pieces to the throat.
You're talking about the Chris Charles and Kobe Bryant. Just, all right, just because I don't like you. That's a water cooler. Where's that report? Pop, pop. I hate you. But that's one of the things you're talking about, the negatives in the workplace. And I think regardless of what the job is that you're on, whatever the job is that you're doing, and then whatever type of job that you may have, when you have to interact with others, well, there's going to be rough patches. There's going to be rough spots. There's going to be negativity. The question is, how do you deal? How can you smooth those rough patches over, and when is it time to say something or say nothing? So we're going to try to share some of our own work experiences without defaming anyone, as well as not giving away any personal information and respecting the coworkers and employers that we work for, but being able to discuss certain situations because these are the relationships that are very important also. When work becomes a grind to anyone, well, work is the one place that you pretty much spend the bulk of your time outside of your home. And if that starts to become a grind or starts to become something that's super negative, it can weigh on you like having problems in your home. And actually worse, because it's connected to, for most people, the means of how they take care of themselves. So there's a sense of urgency always connected to work. So the negativity can seem greater at your place of employment.
Right, especially for the fact that we spend most of our hours at work among our colleagues. And
with
I think
people that we may not like.
Right. And I think it's important to know how to get along with them. So the idea is you get thrown into a situation and it's basically, everybody says, oh, deal with it because you have to collect a check, you have to pay your bills. But a lot of people don't learn how to deal with it. So that's something that we're going to talk about too, is recognizing some of the red signs, the red lights, and addressing them and how to address them.
Well, I think one of the first things is knowing yourself. Understand who you are. Understand what the job entails. Know your job. Know what your job is, what you are expected to do. Start there first. Because I think too often we tend to extend ourselves maybe further than we should.
Yeah.
I think we're not really as comfortable with maybe how we want to present ourselves. So if we're kind of giving mixed messages on who we are, that can open up the door to negativity also. And you got to be very careful of how you go about that. Because I've seen people start on a job and they want to be everybody's friend because they're that friendly person. Okay, hold off. You might be that, but do you know your job? So while you're getting to know people, you should be learning your job to be as effective as you possibly can while developing positive relationships with the people that you work with, coworkers that you have.
Right.
You know. And I also think in that knowing yourself, let's keep it real now. We all have personal, and I'm not going to say baggage, but we have a personal makeup that we come to the job with. Our religious makeup, our gender makeup, our cultural makeup, our status in terms of marital status or gender status, all that makes up who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to see how that fits into your particular job title, job status, and then how is that going to interact with the people around you? And how much do you allow that to come out in certain things? Because, you know, you start placing your personal business out there, you can create some real negative waves that you may not be able to ride out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I agree.
It's almost 8:30. We'll get into that makeup and everything that I just mentioned as soon as we come back. This is Reality and Relationships. It is going on 8:30. It must be Thursday night, as we always say. If you're listening in from the phone, 646-30... I'm about to get my phone number. 646.
Oh, my goodness.
I was about to get my number out of the air. I have a weirdo. I'm not calling my
listeners. I'm like, that's not the number.
646-200-3838. Remember, just to press the number one, let the host know that you're on. If you have a question or comment, Tiff and I would love it. And if you're listening on the computer, thank you. But again, you can call in from your phone while you're listening from your computer. All we ask is that if you do call in from your phone while your computer's on, turn the volume down on your computer so we don't get an echo and we're fine. This is Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in two songs. I am KL Gorman. It's really nice to be back today.
Thank you.
welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Oh, man, GQ Palace DJ always provides nice music, easy listening music. You got to love it. Oh, honey, are you there?
Yes, love. Of course. Where else would I be?
So, dealing with the negatives at work. Well, as before we went to the break, we're talking about knowing yourself and knowing your job. I think one of the reasons why this is important is you got to remember you're at work. You're not at a party. Even though you may socialize and you may have fun, you are not at an event. This is work. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be a stick in the mud. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a recluse. But you need to make sure that you got your job under control and that you're in check of self. I know a lot of weeks that Tiff and I are on, we talk about people have to check themselves. But you have to be in control of you. And one of the ways of being in control of you is making sure that you understand the fine parts of your job and that you're working towards doing that. Would you agree, Ben?
I do agree. But you know what I think? When we come into the work environment, we all know ourselves to a point. It's that we don't know how to get along. Because especially in New York City, where there's so much diversity and so many different cultures, and you have to learn that certain things that you may be used to doing within your household or even in your community, once you step outside those boundaries of your community and culture and go into the workplace, the whole game changes. And I had to learn that. I worked for a telecommunications company for 12 years. And it's funny because when you think telecommunications company, imagine a company that's geared towards providing communications to the world. But we had intra-company strife every single day because we weren't communicating with each other. And from even within our own department, within our own team, dealing with other departments, there was just so much chaos that the company came up with an idea to basically teach team-based organization. And I was actually a part of that project because I was one of the trainers for the workshop in order to teach it. And basically, what we had to first learn is how to identify team dynamics. Because right now, especially in today's labor force, when you go into a job, there's so many jobs that you no longer are working by yourself. Unless you're a security guard and, you know, you got the graveyard shift. But even sometimes then,
you still have to work by yourself because you still got to be in contact with those that will be there to support you, help you, or even learn from. So
Absolutely. You're
not going to be by yourself. You're still going to be in contact with other people. You know, you said something which is very important. I think people forget that the same skills that go into a quality relationship in the home come into play when coming to work, and one of the keys is
Absolutely.
Communication. And
Absolutely.
As Tiff was just mentioning, is communication is so vital because lack of communication leaves somebody else with having to fill in what they think you meant,
right.
What they think
right.
you were about to say, or what you
mm-hmm.
were doing. And at work,
right.
most jobs, and there's probably something that I'm missing. But most jobs cannot exist with someone assuming what the other person they're working with is thinking or is going to do or has done. We live
right.
in a world where accountability is prime. And to be accountable, one has to, one, first look at self and go, I am accountable to this. They're accountable to that. Now, our employer is expecting us to get this together. So we have to communicate in some form or fashion. Now, everybody knows
right.
that I'm an educator. And I have been at a few different schools over the last couple of years, and I've seen the ongoing trend at the schools that I've been at is that the lack of communication from individuals who communicate all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say a doctor makes for the worst patient, and a doctor cannot treat himself because he would be the worst patient. Just like they say, mm-hmm. a lawyer that has himself as a fool is a lawyer. It's true. Like, there's certain things that you do. You have to put your ego to the side. Let me give everybody listening something. One thing that you have to do is avoid making things personal. Do not personalize. Do not make it about you. Know your job, yes. Know your role, yes. Play your position, yes. Know your lane, yes. But understand that your part in all of that is, metaphorically speaking, it is not your classroom. It is not your office. And unless you own the company, we're all working for someone.
Right.
So do not personalize it to the degree that we cannot get the job done or that the communication starts to suffer. See, because once it's personal, I'm sorry, baby.
The fact that we all are working, most of us are working for someone else, it should be with a common goal, and that's to make the company successful. Because if you're not... Let me finish. Because the reality is, no matter how much you might not like your company, because I didn't like the telecommunications company I worked for, but the reality was, we all had stock in the company. We all had to make sure that the company was successful in order to make sure that we could maintain our job. So
I got
the
you.
Idea
company
is...
company failed, everybody's out of a job.
Right, absolutely. You might not like the people you work for, but does that mean you want to see the company go down? Because you might not have a job if the company goes down. So that should be the common goal.
So I see what you're saying, and that fits what I'm talking about with personalizing it, because you may go, well, I don't like the boss, so I'm not going to work that hard. Okay, well, the boss is going to get rid of you.
Right.
And always remember, unless you're creating something original that mm-hmm. the company cannot do without, and I have not seen that too often, you can be replaced.
Absolutely.
I don't care how skilled you are. I don't care how gifted you believe that you are. And you may be skilled, and you may be gifted, and I don't care what the job is. Once you put it out to the world, someone else can learn what you do and possibly, and I'm going to say possibly, do it better, and possibly do it cheaper. And if you
and
don't
keep
think,
in mind,
go ahead.
And keep in mind, especially when it's a company that has the expertise in something specific like telecommunications, that when you sign up for employment, they actually have you sign a contract that anything that you may invent while employed by them, they can take ownership of.
Without question.
So,
it's the same thing with teaching. There's a contract in place, and I mean, everybody knows here in New York City that there's always an ongoing fight between the teachers union and the city. And when you come into a New York City school, it is a closed shop, so there is a contract in place, it is a closed shop, you have to honor that contract. But when you have some teachers who hide behind the contract, meaning, oh, the contract says I only work 6.7 hours, okay. Or if the contract says I am only scheduled to work 3 classes at a time and I will not work 4, okay. But understand that we work with children who are not the same every day. We work with administrators who are attempting to do the best that they can to get their building in the right frame of mind, so they say. And all of that comes into play. And again, I'm going to say it. You can't make it personal because, yes, I worked with some principals who forgot that there was a contract and did everything that they could to circumvent it. And it goes back to what I said originally about knowing your job, knowing exactly, and actually knowing your contract is part of knowing your job. And you have to allow your abilities and your professionality sometimes to be your protection from the negativity that can come from the top, from the side and below you. There's subordinates to you who may not like you, who will do everything they can to uproot you. There are supervisors who may not like that you're an up-and-comer, a go-getter, and do everything they can to block you, because if you get to a certain position, you may scare them because you may take their position. So depending on the job, knowing who you are, knowing what the job is, and not making it personal will help you to avoid some of the negativity. The focus has to be on dealing with positive people. Now, there are always positive people at work, and there will always be negative people at work. You have to realize which ones do you need to deal with and which ones do you need to leave alone. You don't actually have to be cool with everybody you work with. You have to be respectful.
Now, I have to say that when I was doing a workshop with team-based organizations, we actually talked about team dynamics, and we talked about people who were always negative, who really never offered anything positive towards the team, and who you didn't want to work with. Then you have people who they probably had something to offer, but because they didn't believe that what they thought or what they had to offer would be listened to because of the negative people, they didn't offer anything. So it was the idea that you had to learn how to listen to each person. And again, it all boils down to communication. Maybe the negative person, although they're always negative and nobody really wants to hear from them, sometimes they have some truth to what they're saying. But I always believe that if you're going to offer, if you're going to recognize the problem, then you have to come up with a solution. So the idea is, right. So the idea is, even though somebody might be negative and they'll throw something and they'll say whatever comes off the top of their head, sometimes even they have to be addressed because they just might have some validity to their concerns, no matter how they're putting it out there. And then we can work on shaping how they do it, like saying, you know what, well, maybe if you would have said this this way, people would be more receptive to what
you
have to say.
That's the other skill that I was going to mention is the I messages, and I'll explain that in a second, but I want to add something to what you're saying is keep your ego in check, too. You know, it's easy to have your chest puffed out like the king rooster and your ego is on swole because you were whatever. You were employee of the week. You were teacher of the year last year. You were whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that your ego can be the death knell of your work relationships, because if you can't keep your ego suppressed enough for people to be able to work with you, they'll start to avoid you. And then productivity goes down in any form or fashion. And when you're working with people,
I'm sorry, go ahead, honey, go ahead.
When you're working with people, productivity is the output of which you are helping others. If that starts to decline, well, then we're hurting the people that we're working for. It's healthcare, education. If people in a hospital are feuding, well, then the patients are not getting the care. If teachers are feuding, teachers are not getting the services. If at a nursing home people are feuding, then people are not getting the services. If people are at the bus company are feuding, then the buses are not running as effectively as they can, and so the people are not getting the services. So if we can't put our egos in check, productivity goes down. Now, there are times that productivity goes up because people just don't really bother, so all they focus on is the job. And you know what? If that happens, well, just keep doing what you got to do. No one said we got to be, like I said, we don't have to be friends. We don't have to like each other. We just have to be cordial and respectful. And if that's what it's gotten down to, so be it. But now on to the next skill, which was referring to, you have to make sure that you're not using tons of I messages where... Well, excuse me, let me turn that around. I wrote this the wrong way. You have to make sure you use more I messages. Don't point that finger and say you. How can I help? Is there anything that I can do to make this situation better? It is so easy when someone has said or done something to you to quickly turn around and go, well, you, and if you, and you know you didn't, stop. Don't fall into that trap. don't try to give back negativity with more negativity. Absorb it, reshape it, spit it out with, what can I do to make this better? What can I offer to change this situation? Is there anything that I can bring to the table that can put this to rest? Can I help you? I'll be available tomorrow. Would you like to talk? See, if we give more I messages, well, then I'm taking the weight of saying, let's be more productive, not counterproductive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I messages are an extremely important tool to diffuse negative situations.
And it's also about being accountable. And it's so funny because any position that I've been in, and my current coworkers at the nursing home, they always laugh. They said, Tiffany, you've had so many jobs. And it's true. I've been working since I was 16. And I've had so many different positions in different fields. But I have to say, any position that I've been in, my colleagues, my supervisors, the managers, they were always sad to see me go. Because one thing I believe in is giving 100% regardless of how I felt about the job, regardless of how I felt about my coworkers. I gave 100% so no one could ever say that, oh, Tiffany was a slacker. They liked having me there. What'd you say?
No, I said without question.
Oh, so
it's
they
like,
liked
it's
having
it's
me.
Living color, it's like the Living Color, color episode with the folks that had like 100 jobs. You know,
right.
That's how I was. I had like 1,000 jobs. I was the same as you.
And it's funny because in my current position, I work in an office. It's a teeny tiny office, and it's like, I say it's like the size of a walk-in closet, and we have about 5 people working in the office. And when you have a situation like that, it's so funny because I said I could sit in my seat at my desk, and I can touch everyone in the office without ever moving my chair. That's how small the office is. When you have a situation like that,
somebody pass gas? Oh, my God. I'm just...
But when you have a situation like that, people tend to become territorial. This is my space. This is my area. This is my show.
Yes.
And I came into the office. I was actually the last one to come into the office because the person who had my position before me unfortunately became ill. So I was very conscious of not invading or anybody's space or, you know, being territorial. And it was so funny because one of the office assistants, she takes on various jobs. And I told her, because I'm a human resource coordinator, I said, I'm going to change your title. You are now you're no longer the office assistant. You are the administrative assistant because she has so many responsibilities. And although she has so many responsibilities within the nursing home, even they share her with the nursing home across the street, she did not have a workspace. She basically worked wherever she could find a space. And I told her, I said, you know, well, this area right here, I could move my stuff over and we could clear a space for you in order for you, because you need some place to be able to work. You can't just be all willy-nilly trying to find some place to settle down. So we cleared a space. We cleared out a drawer that was holding a bunch of junk in it. It had junk keys and just old stuff that people didn't know where to put it. All in the drawer, we cleared all of that out. We got her some supplies. We really set it up for her. She even decorated. It was so cute. And we actually made a space for her to work. And you realize that things like that make people feel good. It makes them feel appreciated that I'm not just getting thrown all over the place and no one really cares. And it was so funny that 2 of the coworkers within the office said to me, you know, Tiffany, since you came into the office, we really appreciate you being here because you make things so relaxed. You're not territorial. You try to make room for everybody so that everybody can do their job, and you even help people do their job. And I felt good about that, but I started realizing everyone doesn't come to work with that idea. Everyone comes to work with, I'm just here to collect a paycheck. And like I said before, we all live to collect a paycheck, but we all should have the same common goal, is to make sure that our business and our company is working as effectively as possible.
I'm going to, looking at the time, I'm going to hold off because I want to speak to the territorial part. And, you know, I'm not really concerned what other people come to work with what they think, because I don't know if I'd even like it if we all thought the same way. But we do have to be considerate of the overall goal when we do come. But I want to speak to the territorial part, because there's no greater territorial person on the planet than an educator. And I want to discuss that when we come back. It is the top of the hour, and this is Reality and Relationships, and we're still going to talk about how we can help fix these negativity, the negative things that go on at work. Negativity happens, but it doesn't have to persist. And we're going to look to make those changes, and hopefully we'll give you some tips that you can take with you to work tomorrow and make your situation better. So, again, this is KL Belvin, and that is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We'll be back in two songs, and I'm going to talk about how teachers do it. Talk to you in a minute.
Have a million thoughts running through your head. Oh, think about where you at. Late night while laying in the bed. And I wonder when you're out of mind. Do you ever have a thought about me?
Before we go any further, I just want to I want to apologize to anyone who might have got offended by the curse words at the beginning of the song, because I know you heard a couple of curse words slip through. And you know, Tiff and I do a family-friendly show, so anybody who might be listening and there were children in the earshot who might have heard the two curse words, we apologize. It's not what we normally do. They're having to get through on the song, but you know, the song is a pretty good song, but there are two negative words at the very beginning that we try not to. And I know some people go say, well, we're adults. Well, we try not to promote negativity, and this is what this show is about today, is trying to help to correct certain negative things, and certain language is not necessary. We can actually find other ways to do it. So if anyone was offended, we apologize. It is not something that goes on a regular. So back to what we were talking about before the break, and it is about being territorial. Now, I have, and I say it all the time, I've been teaching for a long time. I ain't going to give you all the years. Y'all pretty much know by now. It's well over a decade, moving in on two. Teachers are some of the most territorial employees that have ever walked this earth. Their classroom is like their cave. You go in there if you want to. And Lord don't help you if you rearrange something. I have been in situations where, as a floater, I go into a room and I'm trying to explain to a colleague that this is the Board of Education's material. And other than what you bought, everything in the classroom I have access to, oh my gosh, it's almost been knocked down brawls. And being territorial is okay until you infringe on someone else. You are entitled to feel any way that you want. I can't tell you how to feel. I can't tell you what to think. But when you or things that about you that you have started to lay claim to expand themselves into my workspace, whatever that space is, we have a problem. And one of the other skills, and I talked about using iMessages, so I may say, what can I do to fix this? Because I need to use this room. Yes, this is your room on a regular, but for this period, this day, it is mine. So what can I do to fix this? What can we do to work on this? Some teachers have a very hard time of letting go of the territorial nature of who they are. But around the country, it has started to change because we can no longer be territorial because the educational system in the United States is failing. And definitely in the urban neighborhoods like the ones I have worked in and am currently working in, we are failing our kids when teachers can't even come to the table to discuss what's going to be in the children's best interest because of being territorial. And then, of course, not allowing egos to be placed in check. Now, that leads me to the next skill, which is dealing with anger. If you allow yourself to get angry, whether through being territorial, whether refusing to take accountability, whatever it is, if you allow yourself to get angry when you're at work with someone else, you're going to make mistakes. Often, they can become tragic mistakes, where at the end of the outburst, you don't have a job. Find a way to release that energy, not at someone. As Tiff said earlier, she believes in the two-piece method. And if you're not accustomed to the street.
I did not say I believe in the two-piece method. I said yes, I would prefer. I said
okay,
prefer.
That's a belief in. That's a belief in. No, but if you're not aware of what Tiff means by the two-piece method, I'll put you in on urban colloquialisms. A two-piece is a two-punch to the face. Like a two-piece biscuit.
No. It's a two-punch to the throat. See?
Wow.
Well, you got the wrong area of the head.
Well, if you're lucky enough to hit him in the throat, two blows to the opponent. Two blows to the coworker is a two-piece. Now, you have to understand that once you have allowed anger, now controlling anger is a skill number three. You have to learn to get that under control. And that's why I said at the beginning, one of the first skills is do not make it personal. one of the easiest ways to get yourself fired is to make it so personal that your dander gets up to where you make a decision and tell your employer something that could get you fired, or do something to an employee, fellow employee, that can get you fired, or do something to customer, consumer, or whoever you work with. In our case, as educators, something to the kids. And I have seen great teachers who, on a day that they were tired, say or do something out of anger and put their license in jeopardy. I've seen not so great teachers do some things out of anger that place themselves in a position to be arrested or lose their license out of anger. When we do anything out of anger, work, home, wherever, we're going to suffer a fate that we don't want. Anger clouds judgment. Anger creates very strong emotion that is very hard to deal with. And we cannot make decisions at work based on anger. Now, what you have to do, take a step back, take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth. Find another coworker who has an office that will can let you come in. Find a closet, find a bathroom, something. Take a walk, take a break, have someone else come in and cover your class, have someone come in and just take your paperwork for a little bit. Something that's going to allow you to break connection with whatever is getting you angry. The risk
it's
is
funny
not
because
worth the reward. Go ahead, baby.
I offer the educational nurse and also the director of nursing on my job, I offer to conduct a workshop on team-based organization at the nursing home, because I told them I really think that they would benefit from it, because I've been in a little over 3 years now, and I hear some crazy stories. I'm on the first level, and we have 6 floors, and I hear some crazy, crazy stories. And you're talking about a staff of nurses, nurse assistants, and doctors. And we have floors where the entire staff doesn't speak to each other. And to show you how serious that is and how detrimental it is to our residents, there's no way. I don't care if you don't like each other, but there has to be some means of communication between the staff members in order to take care of the residents. Because there are residents that require 2 people to tend to them, sometimes lift them up out of the bed, sometimes to give them a shower, and each 2 people. When you have an entire floor of staff that doesn't, I don't speak to that person, I don't speak to that person, that is insane to me, because you're now putting the residents in jeopardy. And we had a situation a couple of weeks ago where 2 of our employees got into an altercation. Whether it was physical or not, it depends on which employee you ask, because there were no witnesses other than the 2 employees that were involved and the resident. And during this altercation, the resident was injured. So, of course, when that happens, there has to be an investigation done. It has to be reported to the Department of Health. And now these 2 women no longer have a job. Not only do they no longer have a job, they may no longer be able to get a job. And their licenses are in jeopardy because they decided to escalate a situation that could have been calmed down. And I'll give you an example, because apparently one of the employees said something to the second one, and the second one didn't like what she had to say. So when the first employee walked away, instead of the second employee saying, you know what, I'm not going to even deal with it, I'm going to talk to my supervisor, or I'm going to talk to the director of nursing, or I'm going to go downstairs and talk to Tiffany so that it can be addressed, the second employee decides she wants to follow the first employee into the residence room to pursue the argument. Which
to offer
was an infringement on the resident's rights.
To offer her 2 feet. To offer her 2 feet.
Yeah, she was to offer her 2 feet. But it's an infringement on the resident's rights. Because this is, although this is our job, this is still their home. So imagine somebody decides they wanted to walk in off the curb into your living room and hold the argument. So the second employee went into the room, and again, it depends on who you ask, what happened. One employee says she got hit, the other employee says she didn't hit her. Well, either way, something happened, the resident got injured, and neither one of them have a job now. Which something that could have been as simple as, you said what you had to say, okay, you hold that thought, because when I get finished, I'm going downstairs to make a formal complaint. And I'm saying this from experience, because I've also had a doctor in the facility say in my face that he did not have to respect me. And when I tell you the ghetto girl from the projects came out and said all type of craziness to him, I had to remember that I was on the job and I needed to calm down. And I was very angry because at that time I was going between being a receptionist and my current position. And I realized that I was so angry that tears were forming. And I said to the educational nurse, I need to talk to you right now. And she could see in my face, because I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I'm always the cheerleader at work. So when she saw that I was angry and I was nearly hyperventilating at this man's disrespect, as I had given him and everyone in the facility so much respect, that I had to address it. And it was addressed. And initially, I don't think it was taken as seriously as it should have been taken, because I learned later that he had a history of disrespecting a lot of the employees. I made a formal complaint. I actually put it in writing, and it was addressed to the administrator, the assistant administrator, and the owner of the company. And that doctor was formally addressed and formally written up. So there are things that you can do, and I know that sometimes we all get angry and we want to take it to the streets, because, you know, I'm from the hood. I've been there. But when you talk about your job and your livelihood and things that can mess you up for the duration, you don't want to take it to that level. You have to be professional regardless.
And you guys listening that's wondering why she didn't tell her husband? Because she knew. I would have came in and offered my man the 8-piece, no biscuit, in the parking lot, and it would have been
no gravy.
I talked to you, but she understood that if I call my husband, it could be something negative. And now I'm in a situation, because I'm just going to do what I got to do to protect the wife. You're not going to disrespect the wife. So, and I have faith in Tiff handling situations. Now, I'll give my opinion on how she should handle certain things, just like she'll do the same for me with how I work, and I'm going through that now. But at the same time, decisions have to be made, and sometimes they hurt. Yes. Controlling anger hurts, but those are tears that heal. And trust me, it will feel a lot worse if you allow that anger to unleash, and now you're trying to clean up the mess, and you can't put that genie back in the bottle. And you need to be able to understand, listen, apologize if need be, and then resolve. Now, if the apology is in getting an apology, if the apology is in, let me go fix this situation, you do whatever you have to do to resolve it, because just ignoring it only makes the situation worse and it causes it to fume. It's like sticking more dynamite into the powder keg, sticking more dynamite in the powder keg. Well, eventually it's going to explode. I'm going through that now. I'm at a new school and I'm trying to get things situated, and I'm trying to be a bridge between teachers, between administrators, and between children, and it's difficult. And I used to worry if people had faith in what I do. What I started to learn is I try to make myself accessible to everyone. I try to communicate to everyone. But something that I learned years ago as an educator, I can't make everyone happy. So I don't try. I try to do my job the best that I can. But the one thing I will do is when I make a mistake, I point the finger at me. I will be the first person to say, I screwed up. Now, how can we fix this? How can I fix this? But I'm not going to hold the weight of someone else's ego. I'm not there to be anyone's caddy. I'm not on any job to be anyone's caddy, boss or colleague. What I will do is make sure those who want me to get certain things done, I get it done. But I also am not there to make people feel good. That's what wine, booze, and your significant other is for. My job is to make sure you can count on me to get the job done. Now, that doesn't mean that how I get the job done is going to please you. I learned a long time ago as a dean, you can't make teachers happy. Teachers want the cut-off head method. This kid slept in my classroom. Cut his head off, dean. No, I can't do that. The Board of Ed has a whole list of things I'm supposed to do first. Now, I know they suck because I was a teacher. But we have to do it because it's what starts the paper trail. Board of Ed also says we have to make phone calls home. Yes, I know sometimes those phone calls home can be very negative. I got one today. Parent cursed me out every way through Sunday. And all I said was, your son wasn't supposed to have his phone out in school. He wasn't even supposed to have a phone in school. The mother called me all type of names and said, well, he wasn't in the classroom. He was in the hallway. I'm like, did you just even say he's not supposed to have it in school? Did not care and just made all type of wild accusations. I sat quietly. I took it on the chin. And then I said, what can I do to fix this situation? Because the outcome has not changed. He is still going to be suspended. So I hear everything that you're saying. I respect everything that you're saying. But he is still going to be suspended. So what can we do right now going forward? Now, I wasn't discounting what she said. I absorbed it. But if I responded in anger, if I had responded in anger, I'd have been throwing gas onto an already lit fire. So, no, that's right. Not what I'm about. And also, skill number four is what I'm just speaking about. Confront negative situations, but don't confront negative situations with the attempt of trying to get back. Don't confront negative situations with the attempt of trying to get someone fired. Do not confront negative situations with trying to push blame on. Find a way to fix it. Find a way to get rid of it in a positive way. Heal it. Fix it. Even if it means you might have to take on the extra just to get it done, fine. Because that person is going to get themselves in whatever trouble they need to get into. You don't have to absorb that. But if there's a schism that needs to be sealed, fix it. If it's part of your job, fix it. If it's part of your responsibilities, fix it. Don't look around the room and say, who's going to step up? You step up first. Because even if it's not appreciated on that job, it's a skill that sometime in the future is going to help you tremendously. Because other people are going to think about it when you've already stepped forward. I have been in 5 different schools in the last 7 years. So I'm sort of a nomad at this point. But the one thing no one can say at any of the schools that I have been at, I'm not a professional. That I don't do for our kids. Now, I don't always find the common line with administration. And Lord knows I don't always find the common line with other educators. But what I do and what I'll continue to do and continue to be is professional. And I'll always try to find a way to confront negative conflict. I'll express my ideas and feelings, and I want someone else to express their ideas and feelings. And I'm going to try to understand your feelings. And I'm willing to compromise. That is the one thing that I had to learn, and I have to give my wife tremendous credit in helping me get there, is that I didn't compromise because I was as territorial as the teachers I speak about now. Because, like I said, I was in the classroom before I became a dean. I didn't want to hear nothing. But my wife started saying, you're not going to grow that way, and you're not going to help anybody else grow being that way. So I had to learn to give in, humble myself. So if I got to sit with my current principal and say, show me what you need me to do, and then listen, or when I've made a mistake, apologize for making a mistake, and then fix it, I'm going to do that. And I would say to anybody listening on their job, don't be scared to go in and say, I screwed that up. Now, what do I need to do go forward? Or know that somebody else screwed it up, but if it needs to get fixed, fix it. And then sit down and discuss how it got to that point to begin with. Now, this leads into skill number 5, but as we see, it is the bottom of the hour. We're going to come
already?
Back and give you the, yeah, already. We're going to come back and give you the fifth and final skill. And I'm going to give you a quick recap on all five of the skills that we mentioned tonight. That hopefully tomorrow morning when you get up, instead of offering the two-piece, that you're actually going to say to yourself, how can I fix some situations? Because let me give you this one thing before we go to the break. The person who fixes the problem will probably be the person that most people try to hold on to first. Doesn't guarantee you a job, but more people will fight for you if you're the person that can fix the things that are wrong on whatever job it is that you're doing. This is Reality and Relationships. This is K.L. Belvin. If you're listening in from the phone, 646-200-3838, just press 1 to speak to the host and get in and ask us any questions or comments that you have on tonight's show. If you're listening in from the computer, we thank you. You heard the phone number. Please use it. And before we go to break, I have to say a shout-out to my son, Justin, down in Maryland. I love you tremendously. I'm glad that you tuned in, young man. Don't stay up too late. You know you got school in the morning, but your father is very proud of you, and I thank you for taking a listening to Tiffany and myself. So do not go nowhere. So to Justin, you know that I love you. We'll be back in two songs. This is Reality of Relationships. Be back.
This is K.L. Belvin from New York City. When I was out there chasing skirts and thinking that women was all I needed, the Lord touched me on the shoulder and led me home to my wife. And by leading me to my wife, he led me to him.
Hey, yo, K.L., let's take it to Brooklyn, man. Let's go.
DKP. Yeah. Hope Boy.
Killer.
Chrysler 300M, man.
Never return to the vomit. I never go back on my promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest. I never go back on my promise.
Man, love darkness rather than light. Screw on my old ass, rep Jesus with my life. No time for fake ones. That's why I keep my grass cut for those fake ones. I just miss your war story, how you caked them. I'd rather hear about Christ, how we shake them. You like living the old man, that's why you a cold man. Gain the whole world and losing your soul, man. Common denominator was born in the image of a phenomenal player. Truth met Christ and made an honorable mayor. Me and you are not the same. Took prison, made a classic out of pain. From a fatherless child who was wrapped in blood stain. You don't know about Christ, you drop a cup of thugs' pain. The real Scarface, who took the Scarface. Mind one and driven in constant God's place. I don't know Hebrew or Greek, but I know that death is the cousin of sleep. And once in a man's soul, exactly what he reaps. If he sold to the flesh,
to the vomit. I never go back on my promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't bomb this. I never go back on my promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest. I never go back on my promise. I'll never go back, man. Foundation's packing, Pac-Man acting. Let's see the crack in the pastor of God in the building. Tell me who's willing. Scream out a style, demon killing. Everybody wanna prophesy, full of propaganda. Sanctified grammar, the word is my hammer. Man, I can't stand her, no love in the city. I'm focused New Jerusalem, the kingdom looking pretty. The committee, lady kitty. Taekwondo, this is DKP, the blood washed my soul. When I'm old, I reflect, man, how I got over. Living life purified, keeping it sober. I'm shining in that Christian, more than a Christian. I'm a king, I'm a priest, man. Every day I'm fixing, see the hate in your eyes. You need to be delivered, this is Holy Ghost talking, always hot. Never simmer, you a dinner for the devil. A buffet, a nightcap, full of broken promises. You sweet when he bites that. I'm Biggie the Apostle, Tupac the Prophet. I'm a church, I'm a synagogue with Christ at the top. Black man, you need to stop that. Wrestling the scriptures, error in the faith while your fruit getting bitter. So deliver that doctrine that Christ just preaches. High enough for heaven, but low enough to reach it. Never return to the vomit. I never go back on my promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't bomb this. I never go back on my promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest. I never go back on my promise. Never return to the vomit. I never go back on my promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't.
go back on my promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest. I never go back on my promise.
Word.
Oh, man. That was Faith Walker and Roddy Peace, who produced both of those tracks. And, yeah, that was me. I was on the first one. That was my man Faith Walker from South Carolina and his brother Roddy Peace. Two outstanding brothers who can put together some outstanding music. And both of those soundtracks was created. And I had fun working on the first one. And the second one, of course, is the theme and soundtrack to our latest poetry book through Braven Publishing. Tiff and I are the owners of Braven Publishing, www.bravenpublishing.com. You can definitely stop by our website and see all of our outstanding titles. And the great part about that song is that there are 13 poets in that book, and Brother Faith Walker was able to work in all 13, as well as Tiffany and I. So 15 different individuals he worked into the lyrics of that song, and he happens to be one of the poets in the book, and all of the poets did a fantastic job in our latest entry into the Wordplay series. We have a yearly poetry series that we do, and we're very proud of this project that we're working on. And I just got finished talking to Tiff behind the scenes, and she is going to get started back on her book, because we need to have her book ready before the summer's out, so we can get ready for a fall release. So we're going to try to push her to do that. This is Reality
and
Relationships.
Yeah.
You're going to get it done. This is Reality and Relationships. We always want to say thank you to the listeners for listening in, calling in, listening in from the computer. But we're going to get right back into the topic at hand, because we only have a couple of 25 minutes left. The last skill that I want to get into with dealing with the negativity at work is turn things around. The situation may be negative, yes, but you can use various techniques to turn a situation around. Use opposite statements. When a person says, oh, I don't want to use them, they don't know what they're doing, turn around and say, no, they have skills, and we need all the help that we can get to fix this. Use the pessimistic, the negative person's energy and turn that around and ask what can be done. See, people are scared to ask, how can we fix this? But you have to be bold and assertive when dealing with negative people. See, negative people are pessimistic by design. This sucks. I hate this job. Oh, it ain't going to get done. Oh, the boss is a tyrant. The boss is a pig. The boss is a racist. But they come to work every day. They'll find 9,000 things wrong, but they ain't giving up that check. But let their money be a dollar short, and they turn it to the Tasmanian devil and want to burn down the whole building because their check is late or their check is short. So you have to, one, expect that negative people are going to be on any job that you are on, but you have to defend yourself. Now, as a recap, let's go through the five skills briefly. First one, avoid making things personal. Two, use I messages. Put yourself at the center and start with you. Three, deal with the anger. Their anger and your anger, make sure that you keep yourself in control and make sure that you don't allow their anger to cause an explosion in you. Four, confront negative conflicts. Confront it. Go right at it. Don't be scared. This is your job. This is where you are working to pay your bills, to have your fun, to live your life. Your family is worth you saying, how are we going to fix this? Because I don't want to come to work to deal with this every day. Do you? Now, what you're going to notice is that most negative people don't want to really hold on even to their own negativity. That's why they're trying to give it away like gifts. And five, turn things around. Find a way to make it work. Because if you fix it, if enough people see you're the go-to person, that actually becomes your strength, that actually becomes your hedge, your protection. Now, there's no perfect and no guarantees on any job. Some of the greatest in the world have been fired. Some of the greatest in the world have got sucked into negative situations and react negatively. We are humans. It happens. Don't dwell on it. Apologize if you need to. Pack up if you have to. Start all over. But understand that these skills are designed with the idea of getting past that particular negative situation and be prepared for the next one. Tiff and I, as business owners, we have to wear a lot of hats. And so we have to keep a lot of things at the forefront of our thoughts when dealing with people from all walks of life. We may be dealing with an author tonight, our employer tomorrow, a co-worker during the day, each other during the day, random people who want information about the work that we do with our own company, random people who may come into our establishments, hers and mine. I have to deal with parents and other educators. We have to deal with the kids. So we both, family included, sauce family in there also, so we wear a lot of hats. So the skills that we give you are not skills that we haven't used ourselves. And we've made some mistakes. Tiffany's called me and said, guess what I did? I shouldn't have did it. And a lot of times she already knows before she's spoken to me. And trust me, many a times I have started writing very negative emails that when I let Tiff read it, she goes, you wasn't about to send this. Yes, I was. She goes, no, baby. You can't. Why can't I say it? You can't. Why can't I say that? I mean derogatory emails, too. Forget that I'm a Christian when I'm writing them. Leave that curse word in
and
there. You can't send that.
That's a good idea also, because I've had a number of friends and a number of colleagues who have said to me, Tiffany, this is the situation, and I'm about to respond, and I want you to read what I wrote. And I read what they wrote, and I start changing it. Because I tell people, regardless of the emotions that you have, you must remain professional, because you never know who's going to look at it. And once you send it out there, you can't get it back.
You get it back.
It's out there.
Once you get sent, you'd be like that commercial where the dude is running around and snatching everybody's computers out their hand. But you can't do it. It's just what it is. And honestly, don't go to email unless you're ready to go all the way. Email,
and don't do it when you're angry.
Is email is legal. Let's get it real. Email is a legal tool. And once you go to email, this is why when people email me and put my name and stuff, I take it very serious. Not because of the names that you have CC, because of the BCC, the blind copy. See, the blind carbon copy is what I'm concerned about, who I can't see in the email. I don't know who else you sent this to. I don't know what you're trying to do inside your head and how you're feeling. I see what the words say, but I don't know if you're trying to set me up to see if I respond in a negative way to prove a point to somebody. I don't know who else is looking at. So I'm always going to remember that and act professionally. Now, inside, I may feel that anger that I'm holding on to, but I'm not going to place myself in a position to play myself. Now, this is where I talked about at the very beginning, knowing who you are. If you are a person of faith, well, this is where you get a chance to operate in that faith. Sometimes offering when somebody is expecting a two-piece. Can I help you? And they know that you don't like them. Let me do that for you. No problem. I got that. You go ahead. I'll take care of that. You go ahead. I'll close up. You go ahead. I'll finish this. And then when they come back, why'd you do that for me? Well, it was the best. It was the right thing to do. I don't mind. Sometimes we have to face superior negativity with superior faith. We have to let our faith shine through in our actions. So some people are so confused about why we actually gave back something nice when they tried to give us crap. Because we also have to remember whom we are, those of us that practice of faith. Now, if that's not your practice, okay. But it still creates a better situation by you taking control instead of the back and forth. Why play tennis? Why play emotional tennis when you can just grab the whole thing up and just control it? Okay, you want to be negative? Fine. I got this. Back to the iMessages that I mentioned. See, if you've been listening to what Tiff and I were saying, communication is the key. But there's ways to communicate without having to say words. Professionality. And yes, that's a word. We go, is that a word? Go look it up. Professionality shows so much about who you are that sometimes you ain't got to say nothing because other people will say it for you. I hate KL.
Amen.
KL is, I hate Nick. Somebody else go, no, stop. KL was there for me when KL helped me. Tiffany did. See, sometimes just being who you are, other people come to your rescue. They'll offer the two-piece. Girl, I'm sorry, I had to punch him in the face. I ain't like what he was saying about you. You didn't have to do that. Inside you're going, yes! Caught that two-piece. And then you have to forgive you. Because it's wrong. But yes, you will have other people who stand up and defend you if you're consistent with who you are. No, I'm not an advocate of violence in any form or fashion, at work, at home, anywhere, because it doesn't solve anything. But I joke and I laugh because humor is another way. But be careful. Be careful with humor. An angry person is not going to perceive your joke as humor. It may cause more anger. Don't play with people that you don't know that well. Even at work, don't say we've always gone out and have drinks. You are still at work. Do not forget, I worked with somebody for almost 10 years. Transferred from the school that I was at to come to their school. My first year, I thought I was in the perfect place. The minute that they elevated to the head position, I was in hell. And I didn't do anything. It was just that once they got accustomed to the position and the pressure of the position, they felt they had to attack everything around them, and they went at the people close to them because we knew where certain little bodies were buried. And I had my worst year of teaching under someone I knew or I thought I knew the best. But I learned something from that. And I had to be reminded that I was at work. So don't ever get it twisted and forget where you are. And I hope that these skills help you. I hope that you've actually considered them. I'll run them down to you one more time. So if you got a piece of paper and a pen, grab it right now. Skill number one, don't make things personal. Avoid it the best way you can. Skill number two, use I messages. You take control. Make it about you. How can I help you? What can I do to make this situation work? Skill number three, deal with the anger, their anger and your anger. Keep your anger in check and learn how to deflect theirs. Don't let it in. Don't let their anger add to yours, because that's when bad decisions come. Skill number four, confront negative conflicts. Confront it. Don't hide from it. Don't run from it. My wife just told me that a few days ago, and here I'm right in the situation I got to deal with when I get off this phone. And number five, turn things around. You have the ability to do that. No one can stop you from fixing a situation, because if they do, it's going to be evident. If I put cement down to fix something and somebody scoops it up, well, that's evidence right there. If I'm trying to do something positive and somebody else keeps doing something negative, the proof will be there. If I'm trying to help a student and someone is doing what they can to prevent that, the proof will be there. Just keep at what you're doing. Just try to keep being, excuse me, that's not English, attempt to be as professional as possible. Don't shy away from it. Don't be scared. And don't worry if people go, he always think he got the answer. No, I don't. But I try to do the best I can to make sure I can get it. I'm not scared to go out and find it. And no, I don't have a problem being first. Don't be scared to raise your hand and step forward and say, I got that. Anybody want to? I'll take care of that. Because when the gifts come, often you won't be forgotten. Sometimes you will. Don't get it twisted now. Still work. They might hand the gift to their nephew. What the? All right. Anything I can help you with? What you think, honey?
Actually, I think you're right about all of that. You know, I'm anywhere I go, I'm the cheerleader, because I just believe in getting along, because it just takes too much energy not to get along.
Yeah.
I really
Which
believe
is amazing.
That.
Which is amazing.
Right.
You know me, I'm ready to burn out. With
I just think it makes things work so much smoother. It makes it go so much faster to just say, you know what? What do we need to do to make this work? What do I need to say to you? What do you need to say to me? Let's just make this work. And that's how I go into every situation, that we have a common goal, to be successful, and we need to get there. How are we going to get there? And that means if I have to overlook some of the negativity. And, you know, it's funny, in my office, because we have about 400 employees, I am always offering a hug. If you hear me offer somebody a hug, that means they are getting on my nerves. And that's my only way to combat.
You going to mess around and get body lights. Keep hugging people.
Shut up.
That is
one of my ways to be able to combat negativity with positivity. Is ask someone, do you need a hug? Would you like a hug? And it helps me.
That happened. See,
I
can't hug you. That's a harassment case. You can't just hug people.
Listen, you can offer. I don't just hug people. I offer a hug. Most of the time, when people are being negative and you offer them a hug, then they realize that you're being facetious and they kind of, you know, turn it around a little bit. But, yes, I offer hugs with people who get on my nerves.
Nothing wrong with that. Listen, whatever techniques work, and then listen, anybody listening, Tiff is offering her way. Now, there is no set way, but if it works, listen, if people will let you hug them and that's going to allow you to get that energy out, fine. If you smoke cigarettes and going out and smoking that cigarette, not that it's healthy, but if that's your way to let things get that stress out, hey, buy a stress ball. If you can bring your puppy to work, bring your puppy to work. Whatever you need to do. There was a scene, and it's funny, before we closed the show, there was a scene in Jackie Robinson where he got hit with a pitch, I believe, and he was ready to just wild out. Or he was thrown at, and he was ready to wild out. And his wife was saying, look at me, baby. And I understood what she was trying to do, because she knew if he could look at her, that anger would have disappeared. You do whatever you have to do to get that anger released in a positive way. Because if you don't, you will make a negative decision that could cost you everything. Well, as we bring this show to a close, another good show. I enjoyed myself. What about you, baby?
I enjoy myself too, but before we bring the show to a close, I do have to mention that winning the pageant doesn't mean that everything ends for me. Actually, it's only the beginning, and a lot of work comes in the following year, the next 12 months, because I still have to make appearances on behalf of the American Beauty Plus organization. And May 19th, I will be walking for the Arthritis Foundation, which is one of the platforms for the American Beauty Plus pageant. And it's being held at Battery Park. I should have information on me, because I knew I was going to announce it on the air, but I do not have the information on me. I'll probably have it next week. But
come by her page on Facebook, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, to get more information.
Yes.
Also, our
yes.
author's page, author Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and you'll definitely be able to find more information about the different places, because she will be doing something once a month, every couple of months, doing something different, definitely going into the
yes.
summer. So please make sure that you support. And if you have any information of things that you would like to have her participate in with her banner and her sash and her crown, hit us at info@bravenpublishing.com, because we would love to know where you would like her to be. I will be her caddy and chauffeur, and we can do that. So with a couple of minutes left in the show, baby doll, give your final words.
My final words. Can't we all just get along?
Go ahead, Ronnie. You know, I'm gonna stay with that theme. If it was possible, I would love to see it. But understand that we're not perfect creatures, and so there is no perfect situation. But your workplace is your workplace. Do not try to make work home. It is not. So don't ever forget that you're at work, and situations need to be fixed, because no one wants stress at work. Try to avoid as much stress as possible. Try to do the things necessary to alleviate negativity the best that you can. And always remember this. There's always going to be negative people in the world. It does not mean that you have to be one of them. I hope that what we've offered you tonight helps you. I wish you good health, and God bless. Have a great night.
Good night.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I believe in my baby.
Yes. Said Bell from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
I just wanna give you, make love to you, put you on a rocket flight.